Well, welcome to the third day of our convention, brethren out there. Pleasure to have you with us in the bonds of Christ and fellowship. So our pleasure to have Brother Bill Ostrander with us. And just a little aside, and I won't take much time here, but because of health considerations, it turned out that Brother Bill was able to service in this remote fashion when he may well not have been able to otherwise. So here is an added overruling from the Lord. And Brother Bill has selected for his opening hymn, hymn number 318, Watching for the Day. Hymn number 318. Thank you. Brother Jerry, please offer a prayer on Brother Bill's service.
Our gracious Father in heaven, we come into your holy presence and thank thee for the blessing of this medium of convention, and seek thy blessing upon the many hearts and minds attending and listening and considering. Dear Father, indeed we are watching, we are waiting. Waiting for that day when the world's ears and eyes will also be open, for the time that the sweet wine will flow down to them, when the time that all nations may go up to the mountain and hear of the God of Jacob. Dear Father, we seek thy blessing now to be with Brother Bill as he shares his studies, his notes, and his thoughts, that we too might consider these wonderful things together, that we may be strengthened in these latter days and sustained to serve and honor thee through eternity. To this end, Father, we leave this hour before thee and thank and praise thee in Jesus' precious name and merit. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. And I'm going to announce the subject again just because we got out of sequence for the recordings. So Brother Bill Ostrander will be serving us this hour with the theme discourse. Subject is Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore. Brother Bill.
Thank you, Brother Bob. And thank you, Brother Jerry, for that prayer. And good morning, dear brethren. Bring you the love of Sister Donna, and I will bring you the love of all the friends in our ecclesia who would dearly want their love brought to you. Many of them are online. Brethren, have you ever gone out to eat and the meal served was absolutely exceptional? Every course was perfectly prepared, seasoned to perfection, and presented with excellence. So savory and flavorful that later thoughts of that exquisite meal makes you want to go back and partake of that same meal over and over again. Well, beginning in 1874, our Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, fulfilled three promises. The first we find in John 14, verse 3, reading from the Weymouth translation. And if I go and make ready a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, that where I am, you also may be. The second is found in Revelations 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. And the third promise we find in Luke 12:42. And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? And this meal, this promised meal, was indeed exceptional. Every course served by that appointed server was prepared to perfection and presented so each course enhanced the one to follow. It was seasoned with divine loving kindness that enhanced the heavenly wisdom that planned this feast from the very beginning. Psalms 25, verse 10. Reading from the American Standard. Psalms 25:10. All the paths of Jehovah are loving kindness and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. This refreshing meal was served not on gilded platters, but rather on the printed page, so we can partake of this marvelous feast over and over again, and be renewed and refreshed thereby repeatedly. Having opened that door and shared this extraordinary meal means you have, by a sincere consecration, committed to the attached responsibilities of following in our Master's footsteps. That requires watchful attention and continued prayerful diligence. And this brings us to our theme text for this lesson, Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. We will partition this lesson into five sections. First, we're going to set the stage with a parable for our times. Next, we will consider the context that has brought us to this encouragement to watch. Then, we will examine three different objectives for our watching. Following that, we will incorporate with watching the phrase, and pray always. And then in three parts, the objectives of our theme text. First, that ye may be accounted worthy, and then to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and finally to stand before the Son of Man. Before we directly begin our consideration of this important theme text, we would like to briefly consider the other theme text that was on the cover of the original program. Brother Joe introduced us to this theme. This will help set the stage to highlight our current prophetical environment that makes this theme of watching so critical right now. That cover text was Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Our appreciation of this prophecy was beautifully expanded by the consideration of an article written by Brother A.O. Hudson in the November-December 1992 issue of Bible Study Monthly from England. The subheading for that article was, A parable for our times. There he noted that Amos The prophet was a countryman, a man of the land, a shepherd, and a cultivator of wild figs. Amos 7, verse 14. So it is not surprising that this vision given to Amos of the kingdom was framed in the rural settings of agriculture and husbandry. Here, pictured before our minds, are two different crops, two different fruitages, one of grain and the other of grapes from the vineyard. It is interesting that these two fruits, grapes and wheat, are processed to form the two emblems used in our memorial service. The harvest of these two overlap and intertwine. The order of this intertwining is explained in Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26, verse 5. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time of the grain. So as well, two different harvests are here pictured for us. One present, the current harvest, and one that is to come. The present one is so plentiful that the gathering of the grain is prolonged into the plowing time. And so also the vintage of grapes is so heavy that the treading of those grapes is still going on when the sowing for the next crop of grain commences. And for the harvest that is yet to come, there will be an even more substantial yield. The mountain slopes upon which the vines grow will have such large clusters of purple grapes that they will be literally dripping with new wine. While the lower hills are covered densely with tall, robust stalks of grain, waving in the breezes, they will appear to be literally flowing or melting. Can you imagine the wind blowing through these stalks of grain, making them wave? Indeed, the hills would appear to be flowing. So now let us consider together just what truths this parable from Amos picture for our spiritual understanding. The reaper of grain, more specifically wheat, is picturing the current harvesting of the Spirit-begotten new creation during this gospel age. In Matthew 13, it is the gathering of the wheat into the barn, where the barn is the heavenly garner, the spiritual birth of Christ's body members. The plowman is the time of trouble that is overturning the soil of mankind. This is forcing all aspects of human society to come face to face with itself and its greedy, selfish, inefficient, and inadequate institutions. Face to face with its inability to govern itself. The spiritual transformation of the church class has been abundant and has taken a long time. However, the time of trouble must proceed and has approached quite closely to the final feet members of Christ's body. During this current pandemic, we sure can feel it, can't we? It's nipping at our heels. It's affecting the very nature of our gatherings. And this is one key reason why we need to watch and why we need one another more than ever to reinforce our grasp of present truth and to renew our trust in the precious promises of divine care and loving oversight. The treader of grapes in our parable pictures that treading described in Revelations 14:19. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Isaiah 63, verse 1, identifies our Lord as the one who is mighty to save, as the one who treads this winepress. The seeds of the sower in our parable picture the seeds of truth, the truths of Christ's glorious mediatorial reign of righteousness. Those seeds for that wonderful prospect will continue to be sown and will have abundant fruitage for that coming glorious kingdom. Then our vision is projected forward in time to witness the future fruitage of Christ's glorious mediatorial kingdom. It will be a time when the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of righteousness, will have been poured out on all flesh. Joel 2:28. It is from this point of time that the mountains will commence to drop new sweet wine, the true and health-giving teachings of the kingdom. Isaiah 2, verse 3. And many people shall go and say, "Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Isaiah 55, verse 1. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Then there will be a sweeping of the Holy Spirit, teaching, instructing, encouraging, disciplining, and persuading all of humanity to turn from sin unto righteousness. It will be as the hills flowing into the plain, like a melting, not of destruction, but rather of the complete surrender of human hearts unto God. Truly, this is a striking and meaningful parable for our times. So here we are, with the plowman nipping at our heels, and our theme text wisely tells us, watch ye therefore. The word therefore always prompts us to pause and to think about the previous context that has brought us to this encouragement to watch. This text is part of the Lord's great prophecy, as it was recorded by Luke. It is informative to put Luke's record of our Lord's prophecy side by side with the corresponding text from Matthew. Now, this is a bit tricky, as Luke partitions and distributes our Lord's prophecy quite differently than does Matthew or Mark. All we need to do, though, is to go back in our context just two verses to Luke 21:34. This text lines up with verses 37 through 39 in Matthew 24. This is where the warning of what happened in the days of Noah is given. Luke here succinctly presents the principal takeaway from this warning. Luke 21:34, and I'll read from the Weymouth translation. But take heed to yourselves, lest your souls be weighed down with self-indulgence and drunkenness or the anxieties of this life, that that day come upon you suddenly like a falling trap. Having this context before our minds is good. But therefore is reminding us that this time of the Lord's return, distractions and chaos will surround us in abundance. So, we need to be on alert. We need to be sober. We need to be watchful. From Revelations 3:20, we learn that we are now in the hour of temptation. From Daniel 12:1, we find that we are in a time of trouble such as never was. Sister Donna came across a phrase that aptly describes this time with the plowman so near. It's like being surrounded with permanent white water. Can you imagine the skill, courage, and attention involved in surviving such a torrent of white water? Well, just think about that meal. From that meal, along with the insight of the Holy Spirit, we have gained that skill and courage. And now our perspective is that of standing on a sea of glass. The text here that I'm in front of is Revelations 15:2. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the hearts of God. Brethren, we have found strength, courage, determination, and this elevated perspective through our understanding of the harmony and wisdom in God's Word. We know now why watching is crucial. Now let us consider three different objectives of watching. Watching ourselves, watching the Bible testimony, and watching out for one another. This week's manna consideration for March 26th has proven to be a rich source of lists for watching. The text is 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 and 6. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. First, preeminently, we should watch ourselves. Luke 21:34 states, but take heed to yourselves. To keep ourselves from the snares and diversions of the present time, which are more insidious and entrapping than ever before. Striving to walk as nearly as possible in the footsteps of the great high priest. Watch so that we do not endanger our peace with God, nor lose our enlightenment. And let us remember how those with our Lord in Gethsemane were so overwrought with sorrow and bewilderment that they slumbered rather than watching with the Lord for just a little while. His warning to them we find in Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. So we need to watch prayerfully that the concerns and uncertainties of the flesh do not hinder the new mind from drawing strength from the scriptural assurances of God's unfailing watch care over us, and thus calming and reassuring the flesh. We need to watch, to guard, to keep our hearts. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Watching ourselves is self-examination, along with the accompanying cleansing and purging. 2 Corinthians 7:1, 2 Corinthians 13:5, and Ephesians 4:31. Second, watching the Bible testimonies, an ongoing reviewing of the beauties of truth from God's Word. Psalms 119, verse 148. I look forward to the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. In his word, we learn of God's will, of God's wisdom, of his loving kindness, his abundant promises for every aspect of our spiritual welfare. In his word, we learn of his Son. We gain insight into our Master's character and purpose, so we are enabled to follow in his footsteps, so we can be changed into the image of God's dear Son, our Lord and Master. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In his word, we learn of the doctrinal foundation of God's plan, the chronology of that plan, the prophetic framework of that plan, and the powerful force that holds this framework firmly in place is the Spirit of Truth. That Spirit of Jehovah's loving kindness that will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. So it is good for us to renew and refresh these precious scriptural concepts, that they may be fresh in our minds. That will enable us to watch with confidence and assurance. 1 Corinthians 16:13. New International Version. Watch ye, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Such watching will allow us to maintain our perspective as standing on a sea of glass, unaffected by the turmoil of trouble, the trouble below. Trusting in his watch care over us and having our hope as a steadfast anchor beyond the veil. Hebrews 6:19. Third, watching out for one another. We will let the scriptures following speak for themselves. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke, to incite unto love and good works. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So, dear brethren, let us watch for opportunities to serve one another with these principles in mind. For this is enacting the Spirit of Truth, that outreaching, loving concern for others. And now to bring in the next integral part of our theme text that goes along with watching, and to pray always. Several scriptures, like our theme text, link praying with watching. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. That's Mark 14:38. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Colossians 4:2. English Standard Version. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And like Colossians 4:2 we just read, other scriptures also carry the concept of always continuing steadfastly with praying. Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. And Romans 12:12, and I'm reading from the Weymouth. Full of joyful hope, patient under persecutions, earnest and persistent in prayer. Prayer brings us to a very unique and necessary attitude of mind and heart. An attitude of submission, of dependence, of belief, of confidence, of humility, and of thankfulness. We gain this attitude from our watching, our meditating on God's Word. There we learn that we have been adopted into Jehovah's family, and we learn how that is possible through the merit of Jesus' sacrifice. He, Jehovah, the creator of the universe, is our Heavenly Father. He wants us to commune with Him in prayer. And we can. We can through the advocacy of our Lord. And we can expect answers to our prayers. Praying is talking to our Heavenly Father. Meditating, watching, is listening to His words in response. Watching, praying, watching, praying is a powerful holy cycle of divine communications. It is essential. The final part of this worthy theme text we will consider in three parts. That ye may be accounted worthy, and then to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and finally to stand before the Son of Man. These are the end objectives of our watching and praying. These can be viewed from two different standpoints. A, making our calling and election sure, obtaining our spiritual reward beyond the veil, thus escaping the final surge of trouble and standing before our Lord, seeing him as he is. 1 John 3:2. Or B, obtaining and maintaining our perspective on a sea of glass and thus escaping the present trouble by standing above it and seeing beyond it, thus standing confidently before our Lord, watching our bridegroom through the lattice of prophecy. Song of Solomon 2:9. Song of Solomon 2:9. Watching our Lord this way, on this side of the veil, until we are changed. For this lesson on this theme text of Luke 21:36, we will assume the B standpoint of escaping and standing while on this side of the veil. Now, let us look at this in our smaller portions, starting with that ye may be accounted worthy. Two terms apply here, overcoming and vigilance. Overcoming reminds us of Romans 8. Romans 8, 35 and 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or viruses? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, more than overcomers, through him that loved us, through Christ. Vigilance reminds us of the wise virgins of Matthew 25, verse 10. Matthew 25, 10. That diligently kept their lamps trimmed and filled with oil and remained alert. Overcoming and vigilance results from diligent watching and praying always. Let us start with praying. We pray for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13. And we pray for wisdom. James 1:5. We realize that there is much more involved with prayer. Here we are just touching the edges to see the power and value in following through with this sanctified process. With this divine spirit and wisdom guiding and enlightening our watching, we gain the elevated perspective to remain vigilant, the inspiration to overcome, the patience to sustain this holy cycle to the very end, and the humility to submissively depend on our Father's unfailing, ongoing, loving support. Here is a set of scriptures that highlight the divine power behind the process of this holy cycle. Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 20. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This holy cycle is powered by love. Brethren, keep this process functioning, and you will be accounted worthy. And now the next portion, to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Here, we will just cite a very astute quote from volume 2, page 162. Quoting Pastor Russell, "The faithful children of God shall be counted worthy to escape all those things coming upon the earth." And he cites Luke 21:36. Not necessarily by being taken away from the earth, but possibly by being rendered fireproof. As in the typical illustration of the three Hebrews who walked in the midst of the fiery furnace, heated seven times, on whose garments even was not the smell of fire, because one, like unto the Son of Man, was present with them. Daniel 3, verses 19 to 25. And finally, how do we stand before the Son of Man, this side of the veil? As a fitting conclusion to this consideration, there is another scriptural context that provides a remarkable parallel to our theme of Luke 21:36. And it also provides answers to our question. This other context is a familiar one in Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18. Verse 13. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in that evil day," in this evil day, "and having done all, to stand." So having and wearing this armor will enable us to stand above the evil of our day. From our watching, we know that the Lord is present. We are in the time of his parousia, his being with us. We know he has returned as king. We know he is in control and is conquering. We see this in the unfolding of prophecy. So, in that sense, we do stand before him. As we read through the following elements of spiritual armor, ponder what they each represent. Add them to your watch list. Starting with verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness." verse 15, reading from the English Standard Version. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And now verse 18 brings us full cycle to our theme, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so, dear brethren, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. May the Lord have his blessing. Back to you, Brother Bob.
Thank you, Brother Bill, and we appreciate you finishing on time, even though we stumbled a little bit at the outset. We thank you for those wonderful words of life, and appreciate your use of the virtual backgrounds. That was very creative. Thank you, Brother Bill. Brother Bill has selected for his closing hymn, Hymn number 183, Watchfulness. 183. Bill, would you close in prayer, please?
Our most gracious, loving, kind, all-wise Heavenly Father, it is with humble and grateful hearts that we bow before Thee, thankful for Your loving kindness and guidance, and we ask that You will remain with us, keeping us filled with Your Spirit, aiding us in our daily watch. And we ask that you would forgive anything said or done amiss. And we leave the remainder of these sessions in your care and keeping, asking all through the name and merit of our dear Lord and Redeemer Jesus. Amen.